Hello and welcome to the Beyond podcast. And today is a quick chat with some creatives who are creating a production of Edward II by Christopher Marlowe coming up soon. I say coming up soon if you're listening to the podcast as it drops. If not, you're listening in the future, in which case this is a thing from the past, which you can be really sad about having missed. But yes, if you're listening to this as it drops, there will be links in the show description about where to find this particular production of Edward II, a play that is fairly popular in the Marlowe canon. But to talk about this particular production, I have two wonderful guests in the room with me. My wonderful guest, choose amongst yourself who wants to go first, but who are you and what is your purpose in life?
Hello, my name's Alex Pearson and I'm a director and producer, and I am co-producing this production through my company Alex Pearson Productions and Glass Splinters, and I am also directing Edward II. Along with me is my co-producer.
Hi, I'm Natalie Harper. I'm an actor and writer from London, and as Alex has kindly just mentioned, I'm co-producing this production of Edward II along with her, and also playing the lead, Edward himself.
So, talk to me about why Edward II, why Edward II now? Because I'm fairly certain most of our listeners will know that it's a play about this guy who was a king, second of his name, from medieval history. And I think most people will probably also know who Christopher Marlowe is. But it's a chunky old play. It's not a short one. And decisions need to be made about how to produce it, what you want to do with it, and why doing it today. So what led you to Edward II?
Well, we both love the classics and are very much drawn to Marlowe's work, and also to this one. Actually, funnily enough, last year we went to see a production of it at the RSC, and we were both drawn to it. And they did a reduced version and we have done a reduced version. So our version will be a 95-minute version of Edward II.
Oh, you've cut 5 minutes off the RSC. Oh, theirs was advertised as 100 minutes, which, you know, woof, controversial.
we also have a much smaller cast. So we have a company of six fabulous actors playing a multitude of roles. Natalie is playing Edward and is the only one who doesn't double. But everyone else is doubling or playing quadruple roles to make up for it. And also some characters have been merged together. For instance, such as Mortimer Senior and Junior Mortimer have been collated into one, as has Spencer as well, just because there's so many mentioned characters in the full play. And we have cut it down. I think we have 22 characters in our version played by all six actors. So,
slim cast of characters, really.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about history plays. And the thing is with history plays as well, that a lot of the characters are sort of forming a plot function. And yes, they do have character, but there's an awful lot of quite similar lords bimbling about being lords, making decisions about how you're going to present them and how they're going to function. But you've got one axis point who obviously is your title character, who everyone else is going to orbit around. Natalie, what drew you to Edward?
It's quite an interesting question, really. I've always been a lover of history. My family's ancestry goes back into Wales, and Edward, as you might know, was born in Caernarfon Castle. And I was really drawn to this idea of this figure who he couldn't live up to his father's name. Longshanks was such a presence in the kingdom. And you got the idea of this person who doesn't really fit in, this kind of, for lack of a better word, social misfit, who is really constrained by his role and yet at the same time can't separate himself from it.
Yes, he can't live up to his father, who was a total bastard. All English kings are terrible. Let's be clear here.
But
Edward Edward I really set the bar as to the various crimes, and his son is on a different order of figure as well, and the way he's marginalized within his own court is interesting.
Yeah.
At least in the terms of the way Marlowe is presenting it. it.
And also very much in the way that Marlowe presents it is that you have this figure who is so drawn to the outsider of Gaveston, who is this character who brings with him joy and love and this vibrancy to Edward's life and kind of threatens the way of life to the rest of the court and what they're used to. And what they see is how society and how their positions function. And they get rid of, and they want to get rid of this outside character. And it's that makes it so interesting at this moment of time, is how everything of being art and culture is being stripped back to what does that allow us? And we're almost so afraid of change within this play. And it's what happens when people are so frightened by change that they become absolutely despicable and their actions become so terrible. And then what happens then? What is the next step? And that's what I find so interesting within Marlowe's show, is that they would rather have a child, because Edward III is so young when he takes the crown, than having Edward and his love for this outsider Gaveston.
Yes, because it's that Edward's love for Gaveston is so extreme. At least, again, the way the play is presenting it, and it's the question of how much of the threat is Gaveston, or how much of the threat is Edward's love for Gaveston, and the way those dynamics work with the lords, who are all very reactionary and very controlled in terms of what they're doing there, and also within the logic of his relationship with his wife. and her relationship with Mortimer. So you have this sort of love rhombus that is
it's a great way of describing it in
the play, across the which is merging personal with political all the way.
Yeah, through. I think that's a really interesting viewpoint to have, as like what sacrifices you have, personal sacrifices, and what you have to sacrifice in Edward's sake, the sake of the country and for the crown and for the state.
And that even kings sometimes have to play by the rules.
Yes, because Edward doesn't seem desperately interested in compromise.
He's not very good at that. He's not very good at compromise.
just not in the mood today for that. And there isn't really a the position is Gaveston is gone or Gaveston is here. There isn't really a compromise position of Gaveston on alternate Tuesdays really available. the play isn't. The dynamics of the play don't allow that to happen. So in terms of wrestling a text down to the length you're doing, what goes and what stays?
Having spent various things trying to do it, it's kind of what is our central story here? And for me, it was really trying to keep true to what Edward has to go through and consequences of making the decision. And one of the reasons why I like doing it at 95 minutes all the way through is that one action very much has a domino effect. So it kind of, once you are on the roller coaster, you can't get off and it just topples. And, like in those domino competitions where you start with one and one falls and then it feeds into everything. That's very much the feel of this play and how I wanted it to come across. So anything that really kind of got in that way of the storytelling went. So I very much focused it in on the court and that court life and how the outside world and their actions reflect on it. So anything that didn't help tell that went. Also just again streamlining it to make it clear, because we have so many characters playing anything that made it really clear of who was playing who. So for example, Fabulous, we have a Shrabani Sen who is playing Mortimer, emerging the senior Mortimer and junior Mortimer together really helped clear that so that we had a clear counter opposite of Edward in that. And again, Alison Young, who is playing Queen Isabella. In the real one, there are two female characters, but I wanted, because Isabella is such a strong character, I really wanted to bring that out. So she is the only female character within our version. So I just took out the Margaret scenes as well.
Which perhaps also adds to Isabella's alienation as
exactly.
a French woman in a very English court.
Mm.
She's quite isolated, I would argue.
Yeah. And then what I liked is, so we have two other fabulous actors, Vicky Howell and Emma Louise Price, who play Warwick and Lancaster. And what I really liked about that doubling is there's so many teams. So you have Warwick and Lancaster, who were really kind of a duo camaraderie together, in the same way that you have Bulldog and Spencer, who are having a camaraderie together. And then later on, they play Gurney and Travis, who again, they're very much this duo pair. So within the text, you have these very clear relationships where they're duos. So having them see how they differ between the different characters, I also found really interesting and wanted to carry that across.
And you're talking about the domino effect, because I'm assuming there isn't an interval. I assume you're running it straight.
No.
Yeah. And this is something that with early modern drama, because of course they're not really, unless they're later and they're doing indoor theatres and they have, you know, interval breaks between each act. A lot of these plays resist an interval. It's like you want the momentum of the action, and then you put an interval in. Yes, there might be a place you can pull it, but it sort of kills the momentum of the narrative.
Exactly.
And the energy. So you can ride that through. So you've got a very tight company, very small company. Talk me through that company more. It is an all-female company, I believe.
Yes, it is. So
I think we wanted to kind of look at structure of matriarchal power. I think speaking as a queer woman, it's very, very tempting from a production point of view to sensationalize the relationship between Gaveston and Edward. Historically, the level of intimacy they have is very kind of debated. Historians at the time, Marlowe writing, I think several hundred years later, down to modern scholars. And I think for us, it was more, what changes in the traditional power structures if this becomes matriarchal? How do these characters then start relating to each other?
Also, like, especially with so many of these classical texts, they're just not that many parts written for women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all of the meaty section, you know, all of these meaty roles are men. And especially within Edward, you know, you have one clear character, which is Isabella. And then there is, in the original, Margaret. But she's only on for two very short scenes. And then the rest of it is men. And for us, we really wanted to be like, actually how it would come across with women playing these roles that normally men would play, and how that would work. And especially like finding out how that comes across in the text and through rehearsals. And earlier this morning, we were rehearsing with Natalie and
Eleanor
McInfortune, who plays Gaveston, and the dynamics of that kind of relationship when it is played, you know, they're playing men, but they are women playing these men roles, and the kind of what that brings out, and just kind of telling it from a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, keying back to the RSC, it was something of a sausage fest. I think it would be fair to say, you know, which was a choice which is largely following from what the text is giving you. You know, these plays tend to be it's the structure of early modern drama pushing in people in that direction, unless it's a boys' company play, in which case it's slightly different. What was I going to say? So yes, you were talking about rehearsals. What's your process? How are you, because you're getting close now to actual performance. So you're quite a long way through your rehearsal process. How's it going? What have you been doing?
So we've had a 3-week rehearsal process. So it's been very tight.
Mm. Yes.
But I like to start with a read-through of the text, which everyone is welcome to. I'm working very from the beginning, having a clear vision with our designer, Eve Oakley, who is phenomenal. He was doing set and costumes. And with our lighting designer, Steve Lowe, and Hannah Clancy, who is our sound designer, it's really nice to have a meeting so that all the actors and all the creators come and start from the same start of view. So we all have the similar vision in our heads and working through. And then I like to start with doing a character work. And because, as I mentioned, this play has so many characters, it's just being really clear from the very beginning who each of these people are, what are their motivations, how they kind of function within this world that we are creating, and then building the scene work up from there.
We're also very lucky in the fact that we've got a very, very tight-knit company. We've also got people who have experience with classical text, who have experience kind of going beyond what's on the page and finding layers and going, this is how I see this character. How do I then get this across on stage? We had a wonderful fight director, Scott Howland, who came in and I have to say really kind of worked magic with the space we have and the actors we have to do what I think is quite a really realistic battle scene. So it's hard.
Again, this kind of links to my point earlier about how, doing a play which has so many characters with a cast of six. Our fight director, Scott Howland, was amazing because how can we do a battle when I have four actors who can fight? And he's managed to choreograph something very special and also has come up with very imaginative ways of how we can kill people off stage so we don't have to do that awkward. And now we've got to have a dead body carried off stage.
Shuffle this corpse off stage before the next scene.
Yeah, there's always that question. Yeah, that's where supernumeraries are really useful.
Yeah. Within this, I would like to think that everyone has a purpose, so we just don't have bare humans who can do that. So he's been really imaginative in creating those moments.
How are you finding the Marlowe's verse?
Love him. Bless him.
I actually quite enjoy it because Marlowe writes very clearly and distinctively, and he puts such a lot of imagery in it as well. And so everything is written with a purpose, and he has this really lovely way of expressing
himself
and the way that these characters interact. So even when characters do not have much to say or have such short scenes, we were rehearsing Spencer and Bulldog, and within they only have a couple of scenes together, but within it they build this whole fabulous core relationship that you just get it so quickly of how they feel towards each other. And I think especially for Edward, his journey is written so clearly throughout the play.
I mean, it's quite funny, actually. I was talking to one of my A-level students about this, and to paraphrase what they're saying, Marlowe is earth. It is grounded. It is real. Mm. It is truthful. Which I thought was quite insightful for a 17-year-old, really, but there you are.
Also, I would have to say one of the reasons why I really quite like working on this text and making it 95 minutes all the way through is to make it as accessible to as many people as possible and really concentrate on that clear storytelling. And I think Marlowe really achieves that through his writing. Mm. He really makes characters' thoughts so clear.
Yes.
And as Natalie said, we are very lucky that we have a company who's such a good understanding of that. So it hopefully so we don't want to have that, Marlowe fear of, oh, you're going to see a classical text. It's going, no, out to as wide an audience as possible and telling a fascinating story that is just as relevant now as it in 2026 as it was in the past.
Yes, because you have sort of three layers here. You've got a story that's medieval, a play that's early modern, and a production that's modern. And how do you root it in today? And you know, do you have aesthetic choices as well as those presentational choices about, you know, duration and text?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, in our costuming and in the, because obviously within Marlowe, he loves setting his scenes in a multitude of different in a different venues. One scene we're inside, the next one we're outside, the next one we're in Bristol, and then we're in a prison.
And Scarborough.
Sir so Philip Sidney's spinning in his grave.
Exactly. So and so creating a space that is quite versatile so that we are able to work within this function, but we are setting it very much in a mod sort of 90s dystopian world, obviously, but in a world where modern technology does not exist.
Yes, because I can imagine some of the plot points would be spoiled if there were text messaging was available.
I think it would take that certain je ne sais quoi out of it.
So it's coming up at time of recording and distribution very, very soon. Depending on when you're listening to the podcast, it may be coming up or it may be in the past. So where can people find this production?
We are on at the Broccoli Jack Theatre in South London. We open on the 31st of March and we run Tuesday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. until the 18th of April 2026.
Yes, I love it when people put the year in. It's so helpful. Do you have anything else you'd like to just tell our listeners before where we can find you personally and your company?
We are on social media. We are on Instagram at Glass Splinters, or one word, and at
Alex Pearson Productions on Instagram too, and also on Facebook. You can find us both. Also, I just want to say, if you want to book tickets, it's very easy. It's through the broccolijack.co.uk on our website, and it has many more details about the show, about the creatives, and also we will be putting a few pictures on, but obviously no spoilers at this moment in time.
And all links will be in the show description as well. So
marvellous. And we are also announcing today that for our writers, we are running a rapid write response to Edward II. So the idea is come and see the show, scan a QR code or receive a written prompt from a member of front of house, write a 10-minute piece in response, send it in to us by the end of August, and there is potential for it to be staged with a professional director and professional actors at a working theatre by March 2027. We really, really want to get as many viewpoints and as many ideas and as many people as we can to experience this play.
Excellent.
And also to keep Marlowe's vision and work still going on and hopefully seeing more, because I personally have really enjoyed discovering more about this play.
Yes.
And I would love to do more Marlowe in the future. So keep posted and hopefully there'll be more.
More Marlowe. Yes, please.
Well, all that remains to thank my wonderful guests for being wonderful. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.